Well, I just want to speak today about investing in the kingdom of God, in other words, money. So this will be my first, I think, time I talk on tithing in the 9 years I've been here. Jack said, I was wondering when you're going to talk about money. But I think it's just really important. It's been going over my heart and just things have been popping up for me all week and just, you know, looking at scriptures. And so I end up having to write down a couple of thoughts. I'm thinking, oh, okay, I think you're wanting me to talk about money, you know. And so it's not a big deal, never has been a big deal for me, but it is for a lot of people. I want to talk about money, tithing and stewardship, I guess. I want us to read these scriptures and to hear what the Lord is saying today. Whenever money is talked about in church, it often becomes a sore point or a point of contention, yet with God it's straightforward. I think when I first come here, we used to take up tithes and offerings and put a bag around. And so those of you who were here would have noticed that that was about the first thing I knocked on the head, because we don't need to be taking up offerings and reminding people about giving money every Sunday, because it isn't any important than any other things that are really in the kingdom of God. And yet in church it's been a tradition that you do that. I remember studying a guy many, many years ago. He was way back in the 18th century and he thought the same, and he just felt, you know, he just put a box at the back of his church way back in the 1800s, and he ran an orphanage and he did amazing things for God. He was a German guy, but he ended up in England. And God just did amazing things and used him to do the supernatural, the miraculous. And he was a praying minister. But he ended up running this orphanage and different things and this church and that. And he just says, you know, God's speaking to you if you want to give and you tithe and whatever. He said, I don't have to take up a bag and around every week. And so when I go to conferences and go to other churches, it just like annoys the hang out of me a wee bit. It's like, man, are you still stuck here? I talk to the golf club. I talk to lots of people who aren't saved, and because they think that's what church is. You go there and you've got to put this money in the plate, they call it, and put it in the bag and that. And it's just like, I say, well, I don't do that. I've talked to other churches, you know. I even talked to our leader, Adam White, you know, and he said, yeah, but all your tithes will go down. I said, actually, our tithes went up when we stopped taking the bag around and put a box at the back of the church. The tithes in this church went up. You know, and it's like, because we know. And it's whether you want to be obedient or not. And poking a bag around and trying to make people feel guilty, or this is what we do, you know, we need to get the money in. That's not what God's about. It's an attitude of the heart and it's an understanding of the heart. And so it's not a big deal, really. It's just like for me, I've just done it all my life. And I struggled with it when I first started to earn a bit of a wage when I was just young, 16 or whatever I was. I left school quite early because school wasn't doing a lot for me. Went farming, and so, you know, I had to put the money in. We always used to give our pocket money, and we'd give money into the offering bag and different things. And so, but once I got my head around it and just understood it, and, you know, we got married, and we had some hard years, and I just wanted to give. I always wanted to give. I wanted to pay my tithes and different things, and so at times I actually had to put God to the test, and we're going to read a scripture about this, and it's just like, because I just didn't see how we're going to make ends meet. And these days you have a visa and you run up thousands and thousands of dollars on visa. They just keep banging more on. I think we've got $24,000 on our visa to run up. It's like, well, I won't be using that. But anyway, they keep giving it to you because they want you to use it, you know, and they want you to go into overdraft and different things. And so I can remember just saying, Lord, I really want to give. And I don't know how to do this, but I would at times pay my tithes knowing that there wasn't going to be money at the end of the month to cover the bills, and so you're just going backwards and different things. And there was a time when I actually, before that I'd say, oh, well, I just, Lord, I owe you this much, and I was backing up my tithes and that, and I paid them all off, but I just thought there's a better way of doing this. And when I was doing the scripture and different things, and I thought, now God gets the first. And we had this lady in the church. She said, the first thing I do every month is write my tithes out, you know, where that's just what I do with the income. So I just did automatic payments, have done that just about all my life into the church. And I just had to believe God that the money would be there. And miraculous things did, honestly, miraculous things come. It's just like, man, I don't know, because I couldn't see how any way I'd get this money. And next minute, this job or these people would come and offer to do this and different things. And I went out shearing and diving and kinder diving, and I did lots of different things and whatever. But God actually just brought things into my life at different times where the money was there. And sometimes people try to prove God, and we're going to look at this. They prove God, but their intention is, okay, God, you know, bless me. That's not actually about giving. You know, I actually wanted to give out of my heart, give to the kingdom of God. and to sow into the kingdom of God, and I knew it was what God required. And so in doing that, my heart was actually to do that. My dad was always into church and tithing and giving whatever, but he was a farmer, and I'll talk about this, and there was things that we weren't tithing on in the farm. So there's a bit of contention. It's like, if I'm running the finances, Dad, and if I'm doing the finances, this is what we're tithing on, you know. But he was doing it. It's like, no, this is what we're tithing on. And I could see a lot of those things weren't right. Dad wasn't in the same place that I was, even though, you know, he raised me. I've seen a whole lot of things. It was another level that he needed to go to understand that he actually wasn't doing that well, you know. And I was sort of a bit stuck with that, you know. But what God gave me, I tithed on, and everything that came this way. And so I'll touch on some of these things, because when it gets into business and different things, you know, there's a different form. Tithing is not a tax dodge. You don't think about it like you think tax. It's not technicalities, what you can get away with and don't get away with. As we're about to read, God says, it's mine. 10% of everything you earn is actually mine. It's not even yours. So it's not even a choice what you want to do with it. Oh, well, actually, I'll give it to this. I might give it to the missionaries. I might give it. It's like, no, you don't. God says, it's mine, and it comes into the storehouse, into the temple, into the church. That's where it comes. It's not yours to decide where it comes to. God tells you where you're going to put it. It's his, and he said, this is where you'll deposit it. And before the church and before the temple, God was the priest and the whatever, and if I get time, I'll show you that, right back even with Cain and Abel. And they gave not just an offering, as a lot of people preach. If you read it, they gave of the crops and of the portions of all of his firstborn lambs. They gave a percentage. Cain and Abel, from the word go, gave a percentage of everything that they had, of their crops, and Abel of his firstborn lambs, plurals. And so they were giving percentages unto God. Abraham, we see, with Melchizedek, giving him a high priest, which actually is Jesus himself, without father and mother, come in another form. We call him Jesus. He wasn't Jesus then. He was just the Son of God, as we know him, or the Word, made flesh in the form of Melchizedek. And he was a priest. He came there because God was the provider. God was the one who was blessing and ministering and having to do all the serving unto them. And he said, okay, this needs to come to me. When he first established a temple or a place of worship and put priests in, he said, now they're doing the job for me, on my behalf, so the money comes to them now. It's my money, this is where it goes. That's it with God. And so I think when we can shift from that, I'm just saying, well, listen, and we'll look at all the scriptures, is that we understand that if it's not mine to start with, it's not about whether I'll give or say this is what happens. There is offerings and there's tithes. I'm not talking about offerings. Offerings, if you want to give money to missionaries, building funds, people, whatever you want to do, that's good. That's offerings. Tithes are for God. And they come into the storehouse, into the church. And once you do it, just release it. Don't try to dictate to a church what they do with or don't do with the money you give. It's actually, you've released it, then you sit under the blessing of that. So let's just go. It's a good one to always start with. Malachi chapter 3. So once we understand money, as we do other things, we can simply come into agreement with God's word and then give as God's word reveals to us. I think I talked a wee bit about when we're giving and doing a building here, and I just said, I'm not asking actually for your money, but I'm just going to talk a wee bit about this. Don't give it because I'm asking, because I'm not actually asking for your money or whatever. And today I'm talking about tithes, not because the church is hard up or anything. We're not actually hard up or anything like that, but this is just for you. It's so that we know and so we understand. It's not about, oh, well, I need some more money or whatever. It's not about that. I'm not actually asking for you to tithe or to give money or anything. I'm teaching you what the Word of God says about money. When we're doing this building fund, I said, I'm not actually asking you to give any money, but if you hear God speak to you about this, and then I'm going to share you some things, and if this speaks to you and it means anything to you, then you give. If you don't want to give, don't give. That's it. A person came to me and said, I had no intentions of giving, but then what you spoke annoyed me all night, and they gave a large amount of money to the building fund. They had no intentions. It's not me to manipulate. I'm not interested in that. It's just like anything else. It's like prayer. It's like about having peace or joy or whatever. When we get to understand how this works and how principles of God work in our heart, it's beneficial to us. That's all it is. Money is spiritual because it has an impact on our life. One of the big impacts is God wants us to be stewards of our money in the natural. And if we can't do that in the natural, then he says, why would I give unto you what spiritual responsibilities? If you can't do it, it's like a marriage. I just had to, been working with a guy overseas, actually. Something happened on Facebook. My wife says, I think this guy's marriage has fell over. The wife's saying this, this, and this. And it's like, no, it doesn't. This person means too much to me, and I actually went and married them. And I actually went and married them because she was not a Christian. She was actually divorced and whatever. He was a messed up person. And I met them. They were going out together. It's like, you guys need to get married, you know. And I said, I'll do it here and now if you need to. Didn't work. Couldn't do it then. But it's like, they come back to me. It's like, yes. And so I've sort of been working with them. And then I seen something, you know. And so yesterday, I just happened to go onto Facebook and I see a comment that he made about God. And I'm thinking, I think you need to, we need to have a talk, I says, on public Facebook. You and me need to have a talk what this God actually means to you. You're making a statement here. I think you and I need to have a talk. Oh, so we respond. A whole lot of other people respond. I thought, whoa, what's going on here? I'm in that someone said, I want to have a conversation about whatever. It's like this person responds, let's go private. So we went private messenger. And so I talked to him about it. I said, this is what I heard, this, 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 and this. And what I talked to him about is Ephesians 5, you know, your wife. Your wife is the most important thing to you in your life. And why would God give you any responsibility with his bride or the church or any form of leadership or anything in the church, which is his bride, when you can't look after your own natural one who's right beside you? It's the same principle with money. And so he had this big spiel. He said, I've got this big spiel here. I was just going to really let go. And my wife read it. They sort of must be back together a bit. Read it and says, actually, what you're writing here isn't actually correct. And so he said, we've sat down. We've read all of Ephesians chapter 5 and da-da-da. It's like, man, there is so much wisdom. I hear what you're saying. And so even this morning before I got up here, I was in my office and they responded about some things. And so I put some more things down for them to work on and different stuff, you know. And it's like, because I don't want God, I don't want the devil to rob people of what's theirs. And I want us to understand, you know, the importance in the light of who God is and how he puts everything together, that I'm coming for a bride, and I've talked about this. And your wife is as close to anything that Jesus is to the church. And we need, and so he has these things. It's like first in the natural, then in the spiritual. And it's the same with money. It's like if you can't look after your finances and do things in the natural with your finances, why would I invest or trust you with anything spiritual of the kingdom of God? When you can't actually just willingly trust me and give to me what's mine anyway. So, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. Should people cheat God or rob God? Yet you have cheated me, but you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you or rob you? You have cheated me of tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for the whole nation has been cheating me, robbing me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, because it's all about food in the temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. So he says, you know, if you're going to give to me freely, then I'll show you that I can bless you. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them against the devourer, the insects, the disease, everything else that would come to rob you and to take of that which I want to give to you. When it comes to the spiritual in this day and age, you know, it's amazing how much God comes into a church and the devourer comes in and robs through all sorts of forms because the church is not honoring. The harvest is ruined. The spiritual harvest gets ruined because a people doesn't tithe. Doesn't give back to the Lord what is his. Your crops will be abundant. I will guard them from the insects, the disease, the devourer. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord. Then verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. God is saying, you've been robbing me, cheating me of what belongs to me. A tithe means this. Look it up. One-tenth part of something. So it's one-tenth of a part of something. Or 10%. That means God is saying 10% of all you earn is mine, not yours. Israel at this time had stopped tithing to God. Where And where was God wanting his 10% to go? Into the church, into the temple, into the storehouse, so it would be there to minister to those or provide for those who were doing his work. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, not out to every other Tom, Dick, or Harry. So there will be enough food in my temple. If you want to grow spiritually, and you want to be fed spiritually, and you want to get fresh revelation, but your pastor or ministers have to go out and work, or your leader's got to go work out and get strung out and whatever, then you don't get the benefit. You're not giving because they're already tired and exhausted. And it was the same with Ben when he was doing youth. I'm thinking, you know, what I was sussing out is the call of God on Ben and Nikki to actually lead youth. And I says, you know, I know your heart is really good and you want to do all this stuff, but this will kill you. Ben didn't reckon it would, but it didn't take him long before working and whatever, says, yeah, this is going to kill me, you know. But then I seen, yeah, God's on this. There's a calling on Ben and Nikki to lead youth, absolutely. You know, for me as a pastor, all I needed to know is there a call of God on my life to come to Leiston. Prior to that, I was at Arapuki and whatever, and prior to that, I was farming. I love farming, you know. It's all I live for. Just love it. Love everything about farming. Didn't want to do anything else. I was as happy as happy. God come to me and spoke to me, had all these prophetic words over me. And then one day, you know, God gave me a scripture. Just, you know, leave your father and your mother. Leave your father and your boat, your business and whatever. And I want you to come and do me and, you know, serve me and all this sort of stuff. You know, just that obvious. Talk to other pastors, didn't want to read the scripture. I think I've told you some of the stories. It's like, it was really obvious. I knew what he was saying. All I needed to know when I was coming here was the call of God on my life to come to Leiston. I wasn't interested in the money or whatever, anything else. I come up here for a visit. All I needed to know, I come up here and I sat here and it's just like, yeah, didn't want to come here, felt a heaviness, whatever, and just in my guts, like, man, find this. It's like, yeah, okay, this is where we're meant to be. Didn't say anything to the kids or whatever, but just like, yeah, this is where we're going. That's all I needed to know. So I never talked about finance. I never talked about a wage. I never entered into any employment discussions or anything else. All I needed to know is this where I'm supposed to be. That's a call. So I get paid a stipend. You can talk to Steve Coe all about that. A stipend. I don't do an employer's contract. The church does not employ me to do whatever. You pay a stipend, which is a bit different setup with all religious things, because it's actually about a call of God and not about an employment contract. So I've never negotiated or talked or asked about wages or anything. The church pays me. It's not my business. I'm here. All I need to know is, am I here to do what God is, and God's calling me? He will supply and do all of that sort of stuff. It's a different level, you see, of what people understand. And so because of that, God says 10% is mine. You people need to pay into. Because my responsibility is to God, to the call of God. My responsibility isn't to chase around and look for money and look for whatever and da-da-da. My job is to respond to. And a lot of people don't realize sometimes when it comes to the call of God what that means and what you have to give up. I'm happy doing this. And then God says, actually, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to do this. It's like, that's not my life. So God calls us into things. So what you need to know for me personally is I've given up every dream and every desire that I've ever had in my life except for my wife and my family. That's it, period. Everything that I really wanted to do in life, I've actually given up because God's asked it of me. People don't understand that sometimes when there's a call on your life and God talks to you about things. And sometimes my family have to go through some of the sacrifices that I'm going through, but I stick with them and they got to come through the sacrifices with me because God asks some things of me, which then affects your family. But you're not giving up or walking away from your family like Moses did. Moses got a wee bit trapped in that he sat there all day and he sent his wife and children away. And then Jethro, the father-in-law, said, excuse me, and he marched the family, the wife and the kids all the way back through no man's land to Moses and said, excuse me, you're not dumping your kids and your children on me. He was actually basically divorcing his wife. He said, I'm too busy. I've got to sit there. He said, excuse me. You're not going to sit here from daylight to dark talking to the church and everything and dump your wife and your kids on me. So here I am. I brought the whole lot back. Read the scripture. And it's like, what the hang do you think you're doing, Moses? Appoint some leaders and da-da-da-da-da. And so that changed everything and he got his family back together and whatever. So I'm not quite that bad most of the time. But birthdays and anniversaries and whatever, quite often, just got to wait until the day suits, but we plan it. We're going to get there. My wife was giving me something. We almost had an argument the other day. It's like, when are we going to spend this? I don't know. We've got this voucher to do whatever. We're going to do this. It's like, the next 2 weeks are booked up, so I'm not actually able to just think past that. So we will get there, but it's like, yeah, well, I want to talk about it now. It's just like, well, I don't have anything to talk about. We all understand this, husband and wives. It was only adding stress to me, you see. So I got out of bed and got on and did some things because it was not going to end well. I'm just saying all of this because I want you to understand a call. And so God's already made provision all the way through. And right back even in the Old Testament when I've got all the scriptures for this, so we can bang all of these up, but I'm just jumping ahead of things for time's sake. But he made provision for this when he set up Moses' tabernacle and these other tabernacles and different things and places of worship and where the priests served. So the Levites, they got nothing. They got no inheritance. But they worked like shift work. They come in and they worked in the temple and doing sacrifices and ministering, and because it was like a mini freezing works. People don't understand that. It wasn't always cows and sheep. Sometimes it was doves and whatever else. But they were killing and gutting and doing whatever and burning and sacrificing and removing the ashes. I'm telling you, in fact, if you read Solomon's temple, she was a full-on freezing works. And I mean a full-on freezing works. When you look at the thousands of cattle that were getting murdered and that and where the thing and the blood run down to this and whatever, he had a freezing work set up because that's what it looked like. And so these guys work shift work. And so they had a certain amount of time on and then they have time off. But they had families and they had homes, and how are they going to live? And so the thing was, they got no inheritance. God said, you get no inheritance in the land. Your inheritance is what everybody brings into the storehouse. Everybody will tithe. Everybody will give a 10% of everything that they earn, and it will come into the storehouse. Food for the temple, and it will provide for you guys. And you will go home, and then you'll have your time off with your family and build your house and do whatever, but you won't be buying any land. Even if you've got money, because they had to earn and they had to live, as did the apostles. And Paul will talk about this. I'll give you some scriptures. He said, what do you think, me and Barnabas? You know, it's just like, not like the rest of the apostles and Peter and whatever. They all got their wives and their families, you know, and they have to provide for them, and they get paid and they've got money. So just in case you didn't think, the apostles were getting a wage. They were getting money. And Paul said, me and Barnabas, we're not getting any money. Because they were like missionaries. They were moving from place. They were planting. They never had actually had a church backing them. They were never in a church and just solely doing the church. He was always moving. But then he planted people like Timothy and others in the churches. And they had to provide and supply. And when things went wrong, he'd ask churches for money and da-da-da, can you be there? Or when he's arriving, like, I'm coming, I've got nothing. Can you have some money there for me when I arrive? Because they needed to live. They had families. And they needed to be able to live. And so all of this provision all the way through and out the New Testament was, this is God's money for the provision of those who serve in the house. Who served in the house. A lot of people say, well, you know, all your tithes and everything should build your house and whatever. Well, if there's money there to do that, that's fine. But really, most of it's supposed to go to wages, missionaries, whatever. The workers, the laborers in the kingdom of God. A lot of our money, we haven't done so much with missions because we've been planting up in Darfield and what it takes to plant, and that's been our mission field, but we have sown into a few other things, but that's mainly where it's going. We've got over into Pakistan with Brent and what's happening over there. As people sow into that, and the church will fund and help Brent go over there and pay for his flights and do different things at different times when he remembers and asks. So we have to understand, this is God always made provision for this. This is what he's doing. He had a plan right from the word go. And so here he says, you know, you need to be paying this money. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, most people focus on tithing because they want the blessing. And a lot of people talk about God blessing them when, in fact, everybody else is doing the same thing and making money also. So what God is promising Israel is the same as in the days when Solomon was king of Israel. And they piled silver in the streets. That's a lot of money because it didn't have the worth. So they piled it. Kings came and sat at Solomon's feet. And what God is saying here, I want to bless you so that all nations look and say, wow, God is blessing this nation. And if you will tithe to me and do whatever, as a nation, you will be blessed. And other people say, wow, there's something different about this nation as they did in the days of Solomon when he was king because of what David did and prepared and instilled in them. And God come and blessed a nation. And all the nations knew God's blessing was upon them. There was times when they say, wow, God's God is God. He takes over cities. He does whatever. And they feared them because their God was the real God. And that's what God's talking about here. I need to talk to this because sometimes people say, you know, God's blessing me when actually he's not blessing you. It's just the rain falling on the just and the unjust. People, and if you read on down this, if I get time, if you carry on down that one, God says, you're moaning and you're planning, you're saying nasty things about me. And he said, and they say, well, what nasty things are we saying? You're saying, oh, what's the use of us, you know, tithing and repenting and doing whatever because all these other evil people, they're making plenty of money, they're making plenty of wealth, they're doing all things and God's not punishing them. So why is the use of us doing all of this when they're getting away with it? And God says, well, actually, there's a day coming when you're going to see why, what's going to happen when righteousness and evil will be seen for what they are and the righteous will inherit their promise in the kingdom and all of those that have not served me and you thought got away with everything, they've lived their time, and they're now for the rest of eternity, their life is going to be real misery. You go down and he talks about that because the rain falls on just evil people or unchristian people. People who don't love God, don't have anything to do with God, get rich. And people who do love God get rich. And people who do love God are poor. And people who don't love God and don't care about God are poor. It makes no difference. God says it falls on. But then there is a blessing that does fall on some people. Now, some people, I'll give you some examples of just in normal life and that. I know because I was farming and my grandfather ended up getting a farm for Dad and Uncle Bernie. In the 60s and 70s, if you were a farmer and you sneezed, you were wealthy. It was that simple. You made money. You couldn't help it. Even 10, 15 years ago in the dairy boom, if you hit that dairy boom 15 years ago, you just made money. You couldn't help it. In this building industry, you know, with this big boom that's on, if you were in when the start of, you know, earthquakes here and some of this, if you got in, you're electrician, plumbing and whatever, and you got in on that really early, boom, you're just going to make money. You can't help it unless you do, you know, some people do silly things. It's got nothing to do with anything, but you will hear people say, God blessed me. Well, I know a lot of people who were farming and in business and whatever, who just prospered and boomed and whatever, and they could say God was blessing me, but they didn't believe in God. But then there is a blessing that you see in Scripture where Isaac and Abraham were in a famine and they sowed their seed in a famine and God multiplied it and everybody else got nothing and theirs grew. And that's a different thing. God's blessing me financially. You see, we're already a blessed people. You don't have to go and tell people God's blessing you. You're blessed because you're a son of God and you have peace and you have joy. You have an assurance of where you're going. You have a confidence. You have vision. You have purpose. You have a whole lot of things in your life. You have a hope, which is huge. Talk to some of the young people that Ben's working with and understand you. People don't have hope. They're just getting on through in life. You're already blessed with a lot of things that God's given you, and you know that you can shift things off your life that you have insight and understanding about, that those who don't know anything about the kingdom of God have no understanding and can't break and move away from because there are strongholds in their lives. You're already blessed if you know God and you're serving and you're in some of these things. Without any money, that's got nothing. That's the doctrine of devils. But God wants to bless and make everybody prosper because I know you go through enough hard things in life that God has to do that for you to shape and to mold you and to make you into an amazing bride without spot and wrinkle. And a lot of us are struggling with all of these things, and if we're allowed to continue in our pride and our arrogance and whatever, we're not the nice people that God wants us to be. So he's doing us a favor by presenting problems and issues and things into our lives. He does not tempt us. He does not tempt you. Nobody is tempted of God. We're only tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust and we're looking at things from a different and a wrong perspective, and then we enter into something and we're tempted of our own nature and our own desires. But there is things here, and the enemy tries to come in on top of those temptations. And so when problems arise, you've got a choice. Do it God's way or go with the temptation of the enemy. And God will use things, and things will go wrong deliberately, because God wants you to look at some things in your life. That's the only way you get to see some things. And some things will happen, and God will use that for good. Paul talks about trials and testings and all these things. It's not a strange thing. It's not a weird thing. It's good for you. Say, they're good for me. I just don't like them. You know, a lot of healthy eating we don't like, but it's good for us. It's the same thing, no different. And so we say we're blessed because we're looking for financial gain. And then the people who aren't wealthy, well, they're obviously not blessed. And what am I doing wrong? It's got nothing to do with that. And then God gives some people, because it's their gifting to oversee certain things. It's like the talents. Some are given 5, 3, and 1. You're not going to get a greater reward because you only got given one. It's what God has given you to do. So that's right. It's whether you do well with what you're given. When you're looking at tithes, and Jesus talked about this, he took them in, he showed a woman who came in and gave 2 mites. She gave more than all of the people that gave a lot of wealth. So if you've got a lot of wealth and you give so much money, somebody might come along who doesn't have hardly any money and outgive you simply because you should have given more, even though you gave a lot. Because of what God required of you, you gave this much. When somebody didn't have a lot, they gave way more, and it cost them a lot more. And that adds up to riches in heaven. And God looks at that and he says, my favor rests on this church, my blessing rests on this church, because these people's heart is to give unto me and to sow unto me of that which they carry in their heart. So this woman, didn't name her, she gets special mention. A nothing person with no money, and God honors her. Jesus honors her above all the others that had plenty of money. It's got nothing to do with the amount of money you got. It's whether you're giving what God asks of you. I'm not giving you much scriptures today, so we better give you some more. I'm just trying to get through a whole lot of stuff quick. So the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But there's times like Abraham, like the Shunammite woman who God restored, happened to come in and God says, you know, tell me what, you know, great things God's been doing or Elijah's been doing. It's like, wow, there's a Shunam woman. In fact, here she is just coming now. Wow, is this a woman raised from the dead? Wow, this is amazing. King restores everything back to her in that famine. Gives all her land, all her work. That's God's favor and God's blessing. They're different. They stand out. People say, wow, that is amazing. That is supernatural. It's like God is blessing this one because the rest of us can't make a dollar if we tried, but look what this guy's doing. In the same field, doing the same thing. And this guy's crops are amazing, and our crops are absolutely growing nothing. And yet we'll say we're blessed, but you're actually not. You're just growing different stuff when everyone else is growing theirs as well. Back to scripture. So for the first time, God set up a temple and a priest. His 10% went into the temple and to the priests, or those who served in the temple. The principle carries on, as it says, right through to the new temple, into the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 9, 5-14. Don't we have the right, this is Paul speaking, don't we have the right to bring a believing wife with us as the other apostles and the Lord's brothers do, and as Peter does? Paul's saying here, Peter and the other apostles and others, works of God, they have wives and family to support. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have work to support ourselves? Peter and the other apostles were getting paid financially. What soldier has to pay his own expense? What farmer plants a vineyard and does not have the right to eat of some of its fruit? What shepherd cares for a flock of sheep and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? Am I expressing merely a human opinion, or does the law say the same thing? For the law of Moses says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. Was God thinking only about an oxen when he was saying this? Wasn't he actually speaking to us? He's saying actually he was using an oxen to demonstrate that if you're going to do the work of God, then you need to receive the benefits so that you can keep doing the work of God. It's like an oxen. If you're going round and round and tramping it out, the oxen went round and round in a circle like poor old Samson did, grinding. And it's like if you want him to keep going and his legs to stay up, feed him and look after him so he can grind out the word of God. and so that he can minister the word of God and bring the revelation and the truth. You see, the advantage of this is if you don't get it, you don't grow spiritually. I'm talking to you today about money because we need an understanding of money. We need an understanding of tithing. It's not, well, just the church wants this, it's nothing. It's actually understanding what the principle of money is all about and how tithing works. And it's the same with everything. It's like, so the Word of God is here to teach us, and a lot of us don't understand it. I was talking about this faith of exiles and the connected generation or whatever I was talking about last week. And it's like a lot of these young people says, we don't get the teaching of the Word of God in church. We're looking for it. Do you get a teaching on this? And I think I talked a wee bit about this last week. And the young people saying, no, we don't. Our church doesn't teach us. They're teaching about brand Jesus. This is what you do. God just wants to bless you, and this is great over here today. God wants to touch you and minister to you. And yeah, God wants you to have a great life, and God's all for you, and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, but there's nothing of substance in all of that stuff. Let's get up and sing the song. We all get up and we sing it. Wow, this is really good. Rah, 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 rah. But there's nothing of substance going into our hearts. There's nothing of the Word of God for faith to grab a hold of and say, right, I can step into this and I can believe God for this and I can put this to the test and I can trust God and he's going to see me through. And we need hope. And if we don't get scripture and if we don't get teaching from the Word of God and if you don't feed and bring the money into the storehouse to do these things or to plant churches or do out in the mission field or to save people in Pakistan or get these orphans out of whatever and whatever you want, if you don't want to see any of that, then don't pay any money and don't get the teaching and don't get the help that you need. You see, people in Pakistan need to grow in whatever. And so they have to come to a place where they're going to, and Brent talks about this, where they're going to begin to start tithing and ministering and bringing what they can to look after their own. It's a principle. So that they can be fed and grow. It's about growing up and not remaining babies. And in order to do that, the good stuff has to be preached. And it's not about rah, rah, brain Jesus. And if we don't talk about it, they don't get to know it. And once you hear it, you say, oh, well, they're not listening. It's amazing what you go to bed and think about. It's amazing what you're working away at sometimes and then God starts speaking to you about. And so I just preach stuff and talk about stuff and let God do the work because that's his job. He is the one who brings the souls. You might sow, you might water, God gives increase. Except God builds the house. We labor in vain. So you might think I'm going to do this, this, and this. And people think they're building big churches. All they've got is a crowd. And then bang, and they all disappear. And Jesus says, oh, are you going to leave me two disciples? Just like that. People walk away because there's no substance in their hearts. And their lives are a mess. Wasn't he actually speaking to us? Yes, it was written for us so that the one who plows and the one who threshes the grain might both expect the share of the harvest. Since we have planted spiritual seed, that's what needs to be planted in your hearts, among you, aren't we entitled to harvest of physical food and drink? Paul is saying those who serve God's health deserve to be paid. If you support others who preach to you, shouldn't we have an even greater right to be supported? What he's saying, you support the apostles, you're supporting Peter and his family and whatever, you should be supporting Paul, Barnabas and whoever else. But we have never used this right, whatever. Go down to verse 14. In the same way, the Lord ordered those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. So if you're in a church and you're receiving and it's your church, sow into that. You don't take your tithes. You can take your offerings other places and sow into other things. But your tithes come here, always come here. This is why God tells us to put 10% into the church or the temple, storehouse. 2 Corinthians 1, 14 and 16. Even if you don't understand us now, then on the day when the Lord Jesus returns, we will be proud. You will be proud of us in the same way we are proud of you. Since I was so sure of your understanding and trust, I wanted to give you a double blessing by visiting you twice. Paul is saying here, even if you don't understand a whole lot of things, he says, I'm coming back through you and I'm giving you a double blessing because I'm going to come to visit you twice. So Paul was moving through all around the place, but he came back to this particular church here in Corinth and he said, I'm giving you a double blessing because I'm here to minister into you. People don't understand the input and what when God has a call and something on somebody's life, what they actually give and minister into people's lives. And Paul here is saying, I'm giving you a double blessing because I'm coming to you twice. If I'm only here once, you get a blessing. Because I come back, you get a double blessing. I'm saying this because we need to understand what is getting sowed into our hearts and into our lives when ministry come and sow into our hearts and into our lives. And when your pastor seeks the Lord and puts time aside and prays and speaks to you the word of the Lord. I'm not talking about myself, I'm not blowing, I don't care how you look at it, but I'm just telling you this is the way it is. And so then it goes into 1 Timothy 5:17. Elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scriptures say you must not muzzle an ox, which we've already just read in another passage, to keep it from eating it treads out the grain. In another place, those who work deserve their pay. The New King James, or the Old King James Version, says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in the doctrine. Paul was talking about, I'm giving you a double blessing because I'm coming to you twice. I don't know what you get, 52 times whatever blessing. No, I haven't been preaching 52 weeks of the year here. But what Paul is saying to Timothy is you need to pay well those who pay them and pay them well, or thing he says double honor. That word double honor, which I didn't put on there, actually just simply means, it comes from the Greek word diplous, which means twofold, double, twofold more. That's all it means. So what, and it actually comes out of the Greek, that Greek word, which, so when, even though it says pay them well, it actually means to pay them double. Actually, those who teach and preach should be paid twice as much. Wow, that doesn't sound fair, everybody says. I was going to say something, I won't. I'm not preaching this because I want money or the church needs the money, as I said before. It's just so we understand what the Word of God talks about when it says these things. Like, it's very clear. There's very clear passages of Scripture here, you know, that we need to look after those in the house and those who are doing the ministry. And for this reason, God says, I want you to give the money which belongs to me and bring it here. That's what he's saying. It's my money. This is where I want it to go. That's what he says. You know, yes, it's my money. This is where I want it to go. It's not your money to say, this is where I want to put it. It's my money. This is where it goes. Tithes. Talked about all that stuff, so I won't go into all of that. What people don't understand about a call. Yeah, talked about that. Let's go on. So what Scripture is saying back in Malachi 3 is, if we don't pay God his 10% to those who serve in the church and the temple, then they have to go out to work, and we don't get to feed, and we won't get fed spiritually. Then people are ignorant of God's word, and God is not honored, nor can he establish what he has purposed in their lives. Heaven isn't established in our communities, and God can't bless his people and their labor because they're not getting the revelation and the understanding of what they're doing, right or wrong. I talked about the tribe of Levi. Offerings are optional and are all through the Bible. And from time to time, we do take up an offering for different things. Quite often I get a guest speaker because it just gives the opportunity for some of you people to sow into their ministry. It's not because we need you to pay them. The church can pay them, but it's if you want to sow into their ministry because you want the benefit of what they have carrying in their lives, and you want to sow into that because that's a principle in God. Sometimes if I get time and we don't run out of time, because I usually do it at the very end of the service, then I give opportunity for people to sow into that offering. It's not tithes, it's just an offering if you want to do that. You know, sometimes people have turned up here and they've had all this money and then they've given it to something else, you know, thousands actually. And it's just like, I think, wow, that was a big offering. And then I find out, I says, man, you gave a big offering. And they says, oh, yeah, that was their tithes. It's just like, that's not where your tithes goes. But anyway, that's where they put it. And they just said, oh, well, we just happened to be there that day and we heard this, so we gave all the money there. It's like, wrong move. Not because I want the money. I just want people to have the understanding. Honestly, it doesn't make any difference. You see, I've gone this far trusting God. So why stop trusting him? Why say, well, you know, God, you know, da, da, da. My job is to teach and to preach and to minister and to bring the truth to people. You know this, I'll tell you this. We had a person in the church here in Leeston, and they says to us, I want to build you a house. And it's going to be your house, and it'll be freehold for you, and it's a gift to you. And then some things cropped up, and I had to go and sort out their life and correct them in a whole lot of things, which they didn't particularly like, so they left the church. Now, if I wanted a nice new house, I would shut my mouth and not say anything. They were serious, and they had the money to do it. Plenty of money to do it, more than enough money to do it. In fact, they went and spent probably 5 or 10 times that after that. But the thing was, if I want somebody just to do something for me, and it's about fluffing around, it's just like, but I have an obligation to do them right and to speak into their heart. And it's not always the easiest thing, but it's like you can't be controlled and manipulated by people. And so I lost a brand new home. Just because, and it wasn't because I was annoyed and angry, and I didn't go to them with anger or anything, but it happened over a period of weeks. I just had to keep coming back to them and talking to them about this, and this. You know, we need to adjust this. Really, it was the wife who got all upset. And she got all cranky about things because she was a very proud woman, a very proud woman. And so so I lost a house. That's all right. It's just like, wasn't mine to lose, really. And so I just want to be real with you and talk to you about what the Word of God says. Perhaps I will explain what tithes is and what it is not. Tithes is the money you use for your own private life. As a wage earner, it's simple. You receive your pay packet, and whatever's in your pay packet, 10% of that belongs to God. That's pretty simple. There's some other things that if I, you know, maybe I might play it sometime because it's just a wee bit above my pay grade that Shane Willard talks about, and there's some really interesting things, and that's all true and works today, but I just want to talk about tithes. So that's really easy. Business is a bit more different. What you draw for yourself and live on and what you spend on yourself is to be tithed on because that's yours, 10%. But then this just gets complicated. So I'll go over some of these things. It might poke some of you and whatever. If you buy a car and that car is not only for business, then pay your 10%. If I go and buy a new car, I've already paid my tithes on all the money that it cost me to buy the car. If you have a business or you're on a farm, actually, I'm in a house, Mike and George's house, it's on a farm, it's whatever, I have to buy a lawnmower and mow the lawns. If it's your business and you buy a lawnmower or a ride-on lawnmower, whatever, to mow your lawns, that is not your business. That's for your personal home and house. Pay your tithes on your lawnmower. There's a lot of things in business that because I'm in farming, so I understand this, and I've had this out, and it's amazing how tetchy people get about money. You know, you can be in business, you get, and it's the same, it can be with a lot of cards actually, you get points and, you know, what do they call it? All sorts of things with different companies and different organizations and that, and they give you all these credits and whatever and different stuff when you're in business and whatever, and you can cash all those things in, and they can add up to thousands of dollars. And you can buy holidays and appliances and furniture and things for your home on it all, and it's like, pay your tithes. Say, well, we went and cashed all of our points in or whatever, and we got $5,000. Well, that's $500 tithes. So, it's a tax dodge. And if it wasn't a tax, because it's a tax dodge, it's because it's personal gain for you. And the companies and the business being smart, and I'm not against it, being smart, you know, they're saying, well, this is how we can get you some money. We can give you points so you can use that for your own personal gain. You don't have to pay tax on it, but you still have to pay tithes on it. We're not dodging tax. People say, oh, crumbs, I've been ripping God off. It's amazing what we spend money on. Do you want to really know the big one? Because I bumped into a bit of this one. The big one is you buy a business, you buy a farm, and the next number of years you sell it. and you make hundreds of thousands and even millions of dollars, but you don't want to pay tithes on the difference. People don't want to pay tithes on $10 million, even though they're going to keep all of this money. Unless you pay tithes on the turnover, unless you pay tithes on the turnover you make with your profit and your loss, which is pretty hard and near impossible at times, because sometimes your business goes whoomp down and it comes back up, it will balance itself up. You say, well, I paid all these tithes and now my farm's only worth this. Well, when it gets back up to that and then starts to go higher again, or your business or whatever starts to go higher again, then you start tithing on top of that again. And you can do that, so when you sell your farm or your business or your whatever, then you've already tithed on your gross and your capital gains all the way through, if you want to do it that way. But most people won't do it that way, but I know one person who is. In fact, I've known two people who do that. So mate, I'll tell you a story about Phil Pringle. Phil Pringle, we used to know Phil Pringle really well. He used to come down and run a lot of youth camps and different things for us for years at Arapuki there in a place called Pukerau. Knew him when he was in Littleton, and he went over to Australia and we kept contact with him. And then Gary Dench came down, he was really close with him, and so he'd come across from Australia and different things. He told us some things. My brother and I would take him into a place, because he used to be AOG, and then for Cargill and different things, and we had some good talks with Phil. Anyway, he says this, because he got to be a big name, as many of you will know. And so he had these people in his church who asked for him to pray for God's blessing on their business. One was living on the veranda of the husband was living on the wife's parents' veranda. He was involved in setting up these great big, like, massive tunnel houses, except they were bigger than that, and they weren't tunnel houses, they were warehouse type things. And there was another guy who was in, I think he was staying with his parents or something, and they were in the same situation. Both had the potential of multi-million dollar businesses. And so Phil actually prayed for them that God would, and he had words for them and different things. And both their businesses went off and boomed. You know, and so suddenly they were making $10,000 of profit a month, and then they were making $100,000 of profit a month, and then they were making $1 million of profit a month, and they even got up to $10 million of profit a month. And they struggled paying tithes on that, so they actually asked Phil to ask God to stop blessing, because it's like we're paying too much tithes. Now you laugh, and we laughed, and we thought, he said, I'm serious. People struggle. See, they're not looking at, okay, we've got $9 million still at a $10 million a month. We keep nine and we give $1 million to the church. They struggled. So he prayed for both of them, honestly, and they both went bankrupt. I don't know why I would pray that, but he said, well, they insisted, so I did. See, we think, that's a true story, honest. And he was shaking his head. I'm thinking, for real? But you see, sometimes we struggle. We think, oh, yeah, this is too much. I'm tithing too much money now. We have a struggle with it. But we don't look. You see, when the Bible talks about our eye, where your heart is, your treasure is. And it talks about your eye. When your eye is light, when you're looking and you're focused and your vision, you're looking into things, and if it's full of light, like you're looking at the right things and good things and godly things and looking with the right perspective, you're healed and you're whole in your heart, and your light's, then it fills your whole body with light. And you're at peace and it's good things. It says, but when your eye is dark, then how great is the darkness that fills your heart? And when our eye gets dark, it's because we shift our focus away from God and we start to look at things and it becomes our focus. And suddenly it fills and we struggle with things. And God says, honestly, you cannot serve God and money. Mammon, the God of Mammon, which is money. You can't serve both of them. So when we're serving money, it's like a God, it's like we build something. And so these people went from trusting in God to serving money. And they said, well, this is too... See, it's funny how things shift. And when we're talking about this, it's not saying, oh, well, you know, I want to give some whole lot of money to you and whole lot of whatever to you, and that's favor. You know, and some of you people do that for us, and we appreciate it. That's an offering. It's not a tithe. And if you want to give money for people to do things, that's fine. It's an offering. It's not a tithe. We don't bring stuff out of our tithes if you're in business. You know, and you want to do offerings and whatever. So I've been here. I've been on the side with farming and business and a whole lot of things. So I'm just being honest. See, it's like, you just got to be real with God. It's like, is this for me or is it not for me? And it's amazing, people, because we just get used to, well, you know, technically I can claim this under tax because it's on the farm. It's just like, yeah, but it's your personal gain for you. and then we buy things. Or we go away and we do things. It's like, actually, the normal wage earner, he's already paid his tithes to go and do that, but you're doing this under business, which really means you should be giving it to God. You can dodge tax. This is what Jesus said. They come to Jesus one day to try and trick him. And they said, should we be paying our taxes to Caesar? And so he looks at it and he says, okay, give me a coin. So he gives him a coin. He says, whose head's on it? He says, oh, it's Caesar's. Well, pay to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. If it's God's, give it to God. If it's Caesar's, give it to Caesar. If it's, you know, see, we have to pay taxes to make a country run. And God says, there's money that I've already organized to make, to extend my kingdom on the earth. Not just here in Leicester, but to extend my kingdom on the earth. I get people who want money out of the church and whatever, and they think, oh, you're down. They ring up me. And I've had people go off their face because I wouldn't give them it in Christchurch and different things. It's like, you don't tithe into this church. You don't do whatever, da-da-da. It's got nothing to do with you. You just want money for all these other things, which isn't Christian. You know, and it's just like you think the church should give it to you. I said, well, number one, you're not in Selwyn. So if you want to, it's like, you know, because they don't care about us. They just look for money. I get people who ring up and say, oh, yeah, I live in Christchurch. I'm poor, got no money, da-da-da. Can we have some money and whatever? And I says, where do you live? Is there a church around you? It's like, do you go to that church? Go to that church. Give yourself to that church. Sow into that church. That's your home. Don't come away out here. It's like, I'm not your pastor. Oh, I want the pastor to give me a visit. Is this your church? Otherwise, you need missionaries and whatever else to come and visit you and pastor you and pray for you and do whatever, if that's where all your money goes. I'm not being sarky. I'm just saying this is how God works it. And it's the real thing. It's like, sounds quite hard and rude, but it's not hard and rude. It's just, you know, and I don't tend to go like that, but I'm just telling you, this is what the Word of God, how it talks about money and talks about tithing. It's just one of these things that's just real. So, actually, that was the next scripture down, Luke 20, 22, 25, there's Jesus. So give to God. What is God's? You know, pay the roads, police, schools, whatever we need to do, you know. And then the rest of it, and then God says, well, I've got fivefold ministries and ministries of all sorts that need to be looked after and whatever and established. Yeah. If your business, you get perks, so you don't have to pay tax, talked about that one, but you use it for your own personal gain, you should be tithing on that. It's like, wow, I've been dodging so much. Talked about that. If anybody gives anything of monetary value or of money itself to another person or to something, it's not a tithe, it's a gift or an offering. Tithes come into the storehouse. If you pay for something in the church, you can give it as a gift or as an offering. Don't say, oh, I've bought this for the church and so put it down as tithes. It's actually more beneficial to just pay the money, pay your tithe. The church will buy that, claim the GST, so they get another 15%, which you won't get if you just give it as a thing. And on most things, I think we're getting into a stage where we're going to stop paying GST, are we? Got to be careful with this GST now because they're coming against churches. And what they're going to say is, you know, if you sell this or shift this, then you have to pay all the GST back. That's what they're looking at now. They're changing things, trying to clamp down on charitable organisations. But there's something you have to look at. It's like, just send the money into the church and deal with it. I mean, I buy things. This iPad, okay, I bought this for myself. Steve says, oh, did you pay for that? You know, we should be paying for that. This is for the church. I use this for church, for preaching. It's one of my things, you know, it's solely for whatever. Technically, the church can pay for that and do whatever, but it's all right. I did it. It's just I wanted to do that. It's an offering. It's not a tithe. I didn't take it out of my tithes. I've already paid my tithes to buy it, even though it's all for the church and everything's what I use it for. I preach off it and do whatever. It's just an offering that I wanted to do that I'm paying for my own self, but the church could pay for it, you know, and da-da-da. And different things. And it's the same with you, with your business or whatever. It's like, you know, if it's, you know, there's so many things that we can get all technical about, but you will know with God and you, what is you, what is, I don't say, well, I've bought this thing, Michelle, I'm not paying tithes until I've used up $1,000 or something. I don't do that. And if I say to Steve, can you pay for this? The church pay for my iPad? He'd probably just say, yep, there's no problem, da-da-da-da-da. But it's like, it's an offering. I'm buying it and using it for the church. And then it's mine. I don't have to worry about giving it away. But not that I'd have to anyway. It's just, and so it's just things like that are just quite simple. Does this make sense? Is this good? We had enough? I'll do one more. We'll just go to this one in Genesis, because I talked to you about this in Genesis 4, 2 to 5. Now, Adam had sexual relationships with his wife. That's a good thing, because Eve had a baby, honey. Anyway, she gave birth to Cain, and she said, with the Lord's help, I produced a man. That's a good thing. I produced a man. How many people have a baby and say, I produced a man? I loved it when I read that. I had the laugh. I produced a man. Wow. Anyway, she later gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Some of his crops, plural, a percentage of his crops, really, he gave as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions, plural, of the firstborn lambs, plural, from his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift and not Cain. And that made Cain very angry and he's dejected and whatever. So the first tithe sort of principle we're seeing here, giving in Scripture, was Cain giving a percentage of his crops, Abel giving a percentage of the best of his firstborn lambs. The difference between Cain and Abel, one gave of his best and the other, because he was loved God and he was a cheerful giver. When a person loves God and is a cheerful giver, they always give their best, where Cain just did his duty. And God says, actually, the difference between Cain and Abel was the heart. It's like, I want to really give this. It's not about giving it grudgingly. And so that's where you see the first one. Then you see Melchizedek and a lot of other people. Different things there. So there's a whole lot of other things I could say in there. But for time today, you know, I think it just gives us an understanding of what. Has that helped? I mean, there's more stuff. The Bible talks about, you know, that much is given, much is required. It's actual scriptures. Much is given, much is required. So when God gives us something, he requires something. Bible teaches very clearly that God gives us, scripture actually says, God gives you the ability to earn money. It's a gift from God. God gives you skills, even though you feel you've been trained by different people to do different things. Initially, God gave people the skills to do different things, right back, you know, and it's just progressed through the years. God gave people the skills, and he also gave them the skills to train and teach others. So you will meet people, and they've got different gifts and skills and abilities. They're God-given gifts. And God gives people. There's some people, and I just seen this on TV recently when they're talking about, you know, the percentage of people, which is a minute percentage in every country, owns roughly 90% of all of the money in a country. And they brought on an expert and they said, I know it doesn't seem fair, but if we took all of that money off all of those people and we gave everybody in the world the same amount of money equally, he said within one generation, all of that money would be back into the place where it is now. Because that's their gift and their skill. That's just the way it works, he says. It's just the way it works. And so some people will always be into business and money and entrepreneurial and whatever. Some people will do that. And other people will do other things. The people who earn all the money aren't any better than the person who doesn't. And you're no less a failure in life whether you have a lot or you don't have a lot. The thing is all about laying up treasures in heaven. That's what it's all about. But a lot of people struggle with identity in that, am I a success in society? People looking at me, we're failing. I'm trying to be a Christian. I should be, you know, portraying that I'm all successful and whatever. You carry stuff. Like, for me, and this is really evident in the golf club now, like it's just gone to, it goes from level to level to level, rising. It's like when I just turn up, I bring something into the golf club that's just purely spiritual and ministers to people and helps people and leads and gives them encouragement and strength, and I'm there to speak into their hearts, into their lives, and they just see me as that now. It's just really obvious. Some of those people carry a lot of money, but they need me. And it's really obvious now, and they relate to me like that. And they've seen another side, and God just says, I want you to put you in there, because it's not about, you know, you carry stuff in your life that people need. And they might have money, but their life's a mess and they need you to help them through things. Maybe you've got money and you can help other people. And the Bible talks about that, sowing and doing good things that will glorify God and you'll get riches in heaven. But other people don't have to spend money. They'll do other things which gets the same amount of riches. It's not less than or better than. It's, we're all the same. We're not judged by what do they call it? Importance and status and, you know, classes. You know, I'm enjoying watching Megan and Harry. One comes from class and the other doesn't, and one bucks the class. But it's like, excuse us, this is how you have to talk. She said, I can't. They're knobby and they're talking and their stupidness and whatever. And one reporter come on and said, yeah, well, a lot of it is stupid and knobby and wealthy and dumb talk and whatever she says, but that's who we are. And they know that and they carry on like that. And they don't understand the people that is below that class. And they're not interested. A lot of you will have heard Roy Warren talk about that. And he spoke about, you know, the classes and come to church. It's like you're the middle class. And if you brought another class into the church, it's like segregated them. And so you'd have these ones and these ones. And that's what the churches are like. It's like, and then some of them just won't have them. It's like, well, I'm not going to come to this church if you're going to have this class of people in it. That's England. Honestly, that is England. Still is England. And so, you know, there is different. But in God, those things, there's no Gentile, Jew, male, female. Wealth, poor, prisoner, slave, free, we're all the same. When we get to heaven, it's not about sex. It's about being a son and a daughter of God. And this is who you are and what you carry. This is your treasures. This is what I've got laid up for you. And some people are going up to have amazing stuff in heaven. And other people, you know, and they think, well, I've given all this and done this and done this. What I wanted to talk about today a lot is seed. You know, when you sow into the church and it goes on, you don't know where that ends up. You know, in 20 years, that seed or that person you saved or whatever you did might be doing amazing things. And you're getting the benefit of all of that. That's another whole different sort of teaching. And it can happen with money too. You're sowing money in. It's like, you know, this house wouldn't have been here if some of the foundation members like Bruce and others weren't here to establish it and to build it and put money into it or do whatever had to be done to be here. Yet we come and we get the benefit of it, but we've sowed nothing into it. You see? But what they did in that start carries on, it rolls on. And now Darfield's been planted, come out of Leeston, and the blessing of that and the riches and the benefits of that, of what's going on in Darfield, still comes back to planting and establishing this church. And you get the rewards in heaven. Think about that. You need to say, wow. It's like, I want to lay up riches in heaven. And we think, man, yeah, but all that's gone now. It's just like, well, it cost you a lot in those days. There mightn't be nothing now, but it's like, but the reward carries on. Think about that. And the cost associated is in proportion to the reward. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, there's lots of wow moments today, Father, as we just look at who you are and what you do.